You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a vibrant spiritual community committed to individual and collective awakening through sacred teachings and practices, one God, one heart, many paths.
Well, good morning and welcome to Unity of Tustin. My name is Cherie Truitt, and it is my honor today to be in service with you. Will you please join me in prayer? Beloved one, we give thanks for you, for this time together, for this sacred community, and for each other. We open ourselves and turn toward your divine presence. We know that this time is holy and sacred, and we are grateful for your many blessings upon us today and every day. And so it is. Amen.
Now, Reverend Clive de la Porte.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So here we are, hey? This is it. The last time I saw you, we were doing ministermatch.com. And now we're on a honeymoon. Is this how you guys do it in California? Just get right to it, eh? I want to say how blessed I am to be already a part of this community. I am living in Hummingbird House. I've actually seen some hummingbirds. I get it. I want to thank Sue and Vanessa and all of you that have gifted things to make that house a home for me for these next 12 days. I feel your love and your energy, and I am blessed by it. I also want to take a moment to ask Bonnie and Harvey to stand up. So I was blessed to be invited yesterday to participate with the opening prayer and then to sneak off so that I didn't have to do any real work with the Sacred Grounds Ministry. And I believe the 38 people or plus minus that showed up, the 38 angels that showed up with happy hearts and hands to help beautify the campus. There are too many names to mention. But you know who you are, and we appreciate you and the love that you so willingly and graciously share with us, and especially Bonnie and Harvey for their leadership. I understand Harvey especially put in a lot of extra work on the irrigation systems and things like that. So to the two of you, we love you and appreciate you. Thank you. I was also wandering around late yesterday afternoon and saw John and some of the Mutts guys. I love the name Mutt. So far, I think it suits them perfectly. John was kind enough to give me some good advice. He said, "We like you for now." And I would just like to ditto that. But thank you, John and the Mutts. I think I smelt the food earlier. I just, breaking bread together is part of how we build consciousness and community. So I encourage you to hang around after the service and share some food and fellowship with us. Today, I want to talk to you about the spiritual principle and practice of releasing. And next week we will circle back and take a look at the other side of that, the spiritual principle and practice of receiving, because these two spiritual ideas go hand in hand. You may have received your 2019 letters of intention this week. Did anybody receive the letter of intention? Were you surprised to get it in July? Yes? Is that something new for you? My thinking is, why wait a whole year to find out that you went off track? You know? Why wait a whole year, especially at my age? The years are precious. We need to do things with more frequency. When you opened your heart in January to the insight and inspiration of Spirit, giving you a desire for a greater good in 2019, you were invested in the power of faith. The 12 powers of the divine are 12 faculties and abilities that we have. Faith is the power of January, and imagination is the power of June. And faith and imagination partner together to give us the power to intuit, to perceive, to believe, to ideate, to envision, to dream. And that's why going forward, we will set our letters of intention in January in the power of faith, and we will review them in June in the power of imagination. Do you get that? Because in the power of faith and imagination, we will review and revision and revitalize the desire that was seeded in us in January for this greater unfolding good of God's grace in us, in our community, and in our world. And so I ask you, how did your letter of intention look? Did you go, who on earth wrote this? Yes? Was there some delight, some disappointment? The divine desire uses both delight and disappointment to direct us and redirect. Desire for good directs us in a certain direction towards the good that has already been prepared for us. And disappointment redirects us back to that original desire so that we can reconnect with it and make course corrections. And so I invite you this week and next week to spend more time with your letter of intention. Rewrite it if you have to. Be prayerful, be sacred about this practice. Open your heart to what was and to what is and to what can be. And let those three divine contributors dance in your mind and heart to bring forth the music of what is next in your life. A faithful Christian believer, we'll call him Jack, used to go to church every Sunday seemingly very grumpy and discontented. On one particular Sunday at church, he was extremely upset. After the sanctuary cleared, he stayed behind, determined to have a personal conversation with God. When he knew he was alone, he looked up at the ceiling and he said, "Why not me, God? Why not me? I have been faithful in my spiritual practice for over 20 years. I have served you and your principles to the fullest extent of my human ability. Why am I never the one to win the Powerball lottery?" And there was silence. And so Jack sat with that silence for just a moment. And then he repeated his plea. He said, "God, why not me?" And suddenly, to his amazement and surprise, a voice bellowed from above. And the voice said, "Jack, help me help you." And he was so surprised that he sat there speechless for a while, Finding the courage, he eventually said, "God, is that you?" And again, the voice bellowed from seemingly above, "Jack, help me help you." Jack said, "Of course, God. How can I?" And the voice replied, "For heaven's sake, buy a ticket." Not telling. Well, let me tell you. I would like to say in all sincerity that the prospect of me coming out here full time in November and serving you as a minister and a spiritual leader, for me, is like winning the lottery. Sincerely. I think when I was here the weekend of my tryout, I shared with you that my strongest impression was that this ministry was pregnant with divine potential. I was blessed this morning to have Rev Marge at our service, and we took a moment to connect afterwards. This is a moment in the history of this community for resolution and renewal. We have a unique opportunity to open our hearts to all that was, all that is, and all that is coming to be. And in the spirit of releasing and receiving, this is the work that is ours to do. Now, individually and collectively in divine collaboration, this is the time to search your heart and to let go of anything that is a barrier to this community moving forward into its greater good. This is the time to invite divine resolution into your heart individually and into our collective community so that our common good can sprout and grow and flower and fruit and come into harvest. It is time for that. Everything else that has happened before this has prepared us for this moment. We would be negligent if we allowed it to pass without doing what is ours to do, to buy the lottery ticket, to play the game, to get out of, what do you guys call it? We call it the stands, to get out of the bleachers and onto the field, right? And participate, collaborate, and do our work. And so Jack bought the lottery ticket, and guess what? He didn't win the lottery. So the lesson is that sometimes you have to try more than once. You have to keep playing. Myrtle Fillmore, one of my most favorite writers, had this to say. Your life is a school. The great schoolmaster knows just what problems we need to face to keep us alert and to bring out the wonderful qualities of the Father that have been measured out for us to come up to. That is our purpose in life, to succeed in bringing forth God's perfect idea of good. Do you get this? I love that she uses the word problems. You know, in unity, we practice a thing called denial. Don't we? We practice denial. Sometimes we practice it so well that we in denial. And maybe we've stepped over the line of denial and we're in delusion. We've gone too far with the denial. Listen. As human beings, in the complexity of our lives, individually and collectively, we are going to face things that, yes, we can call problems. Not challenges, not opportunities. For example, if you're falling out of an airplane at 35,000 feet, you have a problem. Yes? But God is there for us. Myrtle Fillmore is telling us that God has measured out these things that we call challenges and problems for us to accept as opportunities in our attitude and our intention, that we might explore our individual potential and our collective potential given to us fully, freely in the divine. And the way we do that is first by releasing that which no longer serves us and opening our hands and our hearts to receive that which is ready to bless us. Do you get that? A hand that is closed, a heart that is closed and holding on, isn't open to receive. It has to release first in order to receive. And so then the question is, are you ready? And if you are ready, what is the first thing that you can do in this releasing and receiving? I want to talk a minute about readiness. You're familiar with the proverb that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. God is ever ready. God is ever willing. God is ever able. All the good that you can desire already is. The thing that separates you and me and us from that good is us. Rumi says, "You have no need to seek for love. Love is. Remove the barriers that you have built that separate you from love. And love will be." God is ever ready, ever willing, ever able. This is important. The good that you desire desires you. Do you get that? The good that you desire desires you. The thing that you are ready to release, it's ready to release you. The thing that you are ready to release is ready and willing and able to release you. And the thing that you are ready to receive is ever ready, ever willing, and ever able to receive you. If we are looking at our individual lives and our collective lives, and we do not see an abundant harvest of divine good flourishing every single day, it is because we are falling short in our receiving. Because the gift of God has been given. The lottery has been set. The tickets have been printed. It is us who need to revisit the practice of releasing that which hinders and receiving that which helps. And so as we come into this time together as a minister and a spiritual leader and a community, this is going to be my number one priority, to open my heart to you and invite you to open your heart to me. Let us have a magical, extraordinary opportunity to connect and open ourselves to the insight and the inspiration of the divine to lead us through resolution, renewal, and revitalizing of the divine purpose and place of this community in the world. Yes?
Yes.
Because you know I'm perfect.
Ha ha ha!
Hold on. That's not in my notes. I didn't. And I've come to learn that you're perfect too. Where are the ushers? We might have to upgrade the ushers to security guards. We lack nothing. In my imperfection and incompleteness, and in your imperfection and in your incompleteness, there's a very good chance that we're perfect for each other. Okay? And in the divine potential and possibility of everything, we are perfectly imperfect and completely incomplete. Okay? And together we will explore that in a very human, sincere, authentic connection between the two of us. Between the leadership and the community and everybody that's involved, we're going to open our hearts over the next 6 months and we're going to ask God one thing. What is the purpose and place for this community in the world going forward? And we're going to pull everybody who wants to be a part of that, whether they're a past minister or whoever wants to contribute to this greater unfolding good, will be invited to collaborate in this releasing and in this receiving. And that'll be our intention. The first step that we're going to take is to determine what is the first thing that we need to do. You know, I'm always often asked, what is the first thing that I should pray about? And my answer is always, you should pray about what is the first thing you should pray about. Right? The question is always the quest. Do you get that? The root word of the question is quest. We're going to ask ourselves, and part of your renewing of your letter of intention is to ask yourself questions. Questions initiate and sustain the quest for self-discovery, self-awareness, self-realization, individually and collectively. The quality of the question determines the quality of the answer. Right? We're going to ask ourselves some deep, hard questions because we want to get some really big answers. Do you get that? Superficial, meaningless questions give you superficial, meaningless answers. We're going to open ourselves to a strong insight and impression from the divine. We're going to go with first things first. A college professor wanted to teach his class the power and the importance of the practice of knowing first things first. And so he set up a demonstration for them. He put a jar, an empty glass jar, on a table, and into this jar he placed a number of large stones until the jar was full. And then he asked the class, is the jar full? And the class said, yes, the jar is full. So he reached down under the table, took out a bag of gravel. Is that the right word? Yes. You Americans understand gravel? Yes. Poured the gravel into the jar, and it found the spaces between the stones until the jar was again full. He said to the class, is the jar full? They were on to him. They said, no. He reached down, took out a bag of sand, poured the sand in between the stones and the gravel to the top. Is the jar full? Again, the reply was, no. Lastly, water. Poured the water in, asked them for the final time, the reply was yes, the jar is full. And there stood this jar, harmoniously, orderly, containing stones, gravel, sand, and water. Not a drop, not a spill to be seen anywhere. And then he turned to the class and said, "Would I have achieved the same result if I'd put the water in first, and then the sand, and then the gravel, and then the stones?" And of course, it would not have resulted in such a happy ending. It might have turned out to be what we call a divine mess. And sometimes we make that mistake ourselves, right? The jar of our heart and the jar of our life, we've put the unimportant things in first. And now we can't find space for the spiritual stones and rocks that form the foundation of a wholesome, healthy, happy life. And so one of the first things that we're going to do in our community and encourage you to do as you're reviewing your 2019 letter of intention is what Matthew said in 633 of the Christian scriptures: seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And by righteousness, he's saying seek it, know what it is, and then be rightly attuned and aligned and applying it in your life. And that's how you release what is ready to be released, and that's how you receive what is ready to be received. Yes?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
When I was last year with you, I warned you. I gave you some very good reasons why you should not hire me. Either I'm overrated in my public speaking and in my powers of persuasion, or you just weren't listening to me. But we're in this now. And I want you to know that I'm all in. Okay? So get ready. Buckle up. You might want to wear a football helmet. Every Sunday that I'm with you, every talk we share together, I will ask you this one question. So, what has love got to do with it? Because in my heart, I firmly believe that it is the principle and the practice of love as our number one spiritual principle that brings all the healing, all the wholeness, all the health, and the happiness with it that we could ever need at a personal level, at an organizational, corporate level, as a collective, common good thing. And I will continue to share that with you on Sundays in every single message until you say to me, "Reverend Clive, please, enough now with the love." We're going to ride that pony till it either crosses the line or quits. Ernest Holmes said, "Love is within us. It cannot be destroyed. It can be ignored. To the extent that we abandon love, we feel that it has abandoned us. Denying love is our only problem. Embracing love is the only answer. Through the power of love, we can let go of what is past and receive what is new. Love heals, love forgives, and love makes whole." And that is what love has to do with it. In closing today, I want to remind you that the last time we talked together, I spoke to you about the best being yet to come. For me, that has already happened. For me, this, standing up here looking out on you, all these angelic faces, this energy, this this anticipation, this readiness, this I want to be part of something bigger, now is the time. For me, this is the best becoming. I told you about the story of Mavis, who called up her pastor one day and said, I want you to come and help me prepare for my transitioning, my memorial service. He showed up on a Tuesday for a cup of tea. It's a very South African thing to do. And she said to him, I'm turning 94 next week. I know my time is short. I want to make preparations for my transition, and I want to honor my husband and the life that we lived together, a life of abundance and prosperity, of love and joy and hope and happiness. She said, I want you to let me lie in wake for one day and allow my spiritual family to walk through past me saying their goodbyes, but I want you to dress me in my wedding dress. In my left hand, I want you to place a sterling silver dessert fork. Well, now imagine what was going through the minister's, the pastor's mind. This is not a request you get every day. Well, every other day, but not every day. And so she was a matriarch in the community, and so it was his responsibility to simply honor her wishes. And she said, you're going to have some questions. People are going to come to you and say, what on earth is going on with this? And I want you to tell them this story. I want you to tell them about the love and the abundance and the prosperity that me and my husband shared together as a married couple for over 65 years. And I want you to tell them that we met at a wedding on a blind date. And that while we were sitting at the table, when the entree, the main course, was being removed by the waiting staff, and just before the dessert got there, he reached forward and he grabbed my dessert spoon fork and gave it to me and said, hang on to this because the best is yet to come. For us, together, let's grab that divine sterling silver dessert fork and hold on to it. Because if we do what he's asked to do, God will not disappoint us. If we release and resolve what needs to be released and resolved, we are opening our hearts to receive what is ready to be received. And truly, like never before, the best is yet to come. Thank you.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.